Welcome to the Maura Cirillo In-Home School of Prayer and Intercession. The following was recorded live, direct from the World Prayer Center, 2003 Maura Cirillo School of Prayer and Intercession. Join Maura Cirillo's guest, Pastor Bob Rogers, as he ministers on Prayer and Fasting Can Save Your Life.
I want you to look with me in the book of Luke, chapter 4, and I want to begin reading in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward fasted. He fasted 40 days and afterward hungered. Now, the question comes, why did Jesus fast for 40 days? I've never heard a sermon preached on this subject, but I want to share with you today why Jesus fasted 40 days. In those days, there were 23 different fasts among the Jewish people. There were 22 fasts that were called black fasts. People would dress in black clothing, and they would be from sunup to sundown, and they were more of a memorial service, a memorial type of fasting, in honor of 1,000 soldiers that were killed in a battle, in honor of another defeat that took the lives of many Israeli people, in honor of a famine that destroyed the lives of people. And they called them black fasts. But there was one white fast, and that white fast was on the Day of Atonement. It was a 25-hour fast, and it went from sundown until sundown. And in that fast, they fasted for something. Of those different fasts, this was the only one they really fasted for something, believing that God was going to deliver them from all of their sins and the blessings of God would come upon them. It's also interesting that on the day of Jubilee, the year of Jubilee that came every 50 years, you would think that on those 50th years, it would start at the beginning of the year. And, of course, their beginning of the year started somewhere in the spring, since their calendar was based upon the moon instead of the sun. It always changed. There were 10 months instead of our 12-month period. And so you can never say exactly the exact day it was, but it was sometime around March and April. And you would think that when the year of Jubilee came, it would start at the beginning of their year, but it didn't. It started at the end of the white fast, or the end of the Day of Atonement. And that's when God brought a victory and God delivered people from their indebtedness. It happened when the fast was over. And so they were fasting for something. Now, the Catholic Church has said that the reason Jesus fasted for 40 days was that he was mourning the sins of mankind. And so he went on a 40-day fast so that the sins would be forgiven and we would be set free from that past. But that's not true. Jesus fasted for something. There was a reason Jesus came and he fasted. The fact is, if prayer alone could have met every need that he was believing for, he would have just prayed. If dropping an offering in the offering plate would have done it, he would have gone to the synagogue and given an offering. But there was something that fasting did that nothing else could do. And so he fasted 40 days. The Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast. It says in the book of Mark, he was driven by the Holy Ghost to fast. So for the Holy Ghost to drive Jesus to fast for 40 days and to lead him into this fast, fasting must have been very, very important and must have accomplished something in his life that nothing else would. The fact is, the Bible would be a whole lot smaller if Jesus had not have fasted. The New Testament would not have been the volumes that we read today. There would be many portions that would be left out. He wouldn't have walked on the water. because there was an empowerment that came through the fasting and through the power of the Holy Spirit that would not have enabled him to walk on the water. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, also in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, is the story of a boy who came with his father to Jesus, and they could not cast the demon out. You remember that story? And so they came to Jesus and said, "Why could we not cast this devil out?" This was the first time, the very first time, that the disciples had not been able to get somebody healed. Every person they prayed for had gotten healed until they met this little boy. And Jesus, he said, "It's because of your unbelief." And when you begin to study these words in the Greek, it was not a word of rebuke. It was a word of explanation. And Jesus took this opportunity to explain to them and to begin to teach on fasting. And as he began to teach them, he says, "It's because of your unbelief." In Matthew, he says, "If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say unto this mountain, 'Be removed to yonder place,' and it will be removed, and nothing will be impossible unto you. Howbeit," or in other words, if you want to have this kind of faith, "howbeit, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." Now, I used to be a wrestler, and I'll tell you how I got started wrestling. I lived in the worst part of town, and so I had to fight. I learned how to fight as a kid, and then later I got into wrestling, and I wrestled 95-pound weight class. And then the next year, I wrestled 103-pound weight class. The next year, I moved up to 112, and then I won the state AAU three times at 139-pound weight class. I went on and tried out for the Olympic team. And so one year, as I was fighting, I went up to 154-pound weight class. I gained some weight and couldn't make my weight class. But when I got up to 154-pound weight class, there were fellas who weighed 175 pounds, and they pulled weight and fought down at 154, and it was a lot tougher at 154, so the next year I lost weight but went back down to 139. Well, Jesus said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." So for there to be a this kind, there has to be a that kind. And some of you, when you got saved, the revelation of faith came to you in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you said, "Boo!" And the devil took off running. You were fighting in the 95-pound weight class, and those 95-pound devils just could not stand up against your booze. But those days are past. Some of you have been in the faith for many years, and you've moved on up. Some of you have moved up to the middleweight class. Some of you have been fighting in the light heavyweight class. And now some of you are believing that God's going to enable you to take a city for God. Well, let me tell you, those demons that control cities don't weigh 95 pounds. One time I was on a three-day fast, and I was driving by an abortion clinic, and I stopped. They were having a big rally there, and I was in the parking lot, and I had this vision. And I saw two demons as tall as that five-story building. I'll never forget the head on one of these demons. It was like a pyramid. And it came down and had the most vicious teeth. I don't know how many teeth that demon had, but they were vicious. And I said to the Lord, I said, "This must be the strong man of Louisville." And the Lord said to me, "No. The strong man of Louisville is as big as the tallest building in this town." But then the Lord said, "But I got angels that are bigger than them." And you know what else is amazing? Inside our body, our spirit begins to develop, and it begins to grow, and it begins to develop spiritual muscles. Have you ever seen one of those at the circus, a little car pull up and a clown get out, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another. And they all unfold out of that car, and you said, how in the world did all those clowns get in there? Well, that's what happens in a man's spirit. When you start unfolding out of this flesh, and you start standing up erect, you become taller than the tallest building in a city. But if you want to take on that class, then you have to add fasting to your life. And so it says here, being full of the Holy Ghost, he fasts for 40 days and afterwards he hungered. It doesn't say he thirsted, so he drank fluids. He drank a lot of water. Now, I fasted every wrong way a person can fast. I've broken more fast than most people can ever dream about fasting. I'll tell you how I started fasting. I was pastoring a little church where they couldn't get a preacher and I couldn't get a place to preach. And this church, the arrangement was, after all the bills were paid, then they'd pay the pastor. Well, after not getting paid for several weeks, we changed that way. And so we started taking a second offering, a love offering for the pastor. And my dad said, well, son, how much did you get this week? I said, well, I got $5. He said, well, I've always heard poor preach means poor pay. So after about 3 months, our church grew from 40 to 20. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a church that grew that way. And I remember I didn't have any money to buy food. And so I decided to, that's how I started fasting. I had to fast. It was a forced fast. And so I started visiting people about dinner time. And I'd show up and they'd say, oh, Pastor Bob, we were just having dinner. So, oh, I've come at the wrong time. So, oh, no, come on in and join us. And so one day I was visiting these two old maid ladies that lived together. And they said, well, Pastor, come on in and eat with us. We get our food from Meals on Wheels. And they've brought us Mexican food. I said, well, I'm not going to eat this food. I said, I didn't know you got it from Meals on Wheels. I'd feel terrible to eat it. I said, no, I said, eat it. It's Mexican food. We tried it. We didn't like it. We fed it to the cat, and the cat threw it up. And so that's how I started fasting. And as I began to fast, though, I began to see the breakthroughs that began to take place. Now notice, here's what happened. It says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Satan began to come, and he was tempted for 40 days. Now, when Satan began to come and tempt Jesus, he didn't send some fresh graduate from demon temptation school to take on Jesus. He didn't send one of his lieutenants, but Satan came himself. And the greatest temptation that ever happened on the face of the earth happened when Satan tempted Christ. And you know what? He never failed. Now, he could have failed. The Bible calls it a temptation. And if Jesus could not have failed, if he could not have succumbed to adultery, if he could not have given in to pride, and it was impossible for him to sin, then it would not have been a temptation. He was tempted just like every person here, only multiply it 10 times. Jesus was tempted by Satan himself. But you know why he didn't fall? Because he fasted for 40 days. We see so many men of God, mighty men of God, who have all the talents and who have all the natural abilities. But there are character flaws. And they get into a temptation and they fall into sin. Now I'm speaking tonight a prophetic word for some people in this room. You have a desire to serve God, and while you're around the fire, you're very, very hot. But when you get out in the marketplace, you've got areas of your life that you have some weaknesses. And if you don't learn to begin to fast and add fasting to the disciplines of your life, you'll fall into sin. Your wife will leave you. There will be an adulterous situation that begins to take place. Every person, take heed lest you fall. And there's an empowerment that comes when people fast that does not come any other way. Now, let me tell you something. Fasting cannot take the place of reading the Bible. I made a vow to God that never would a day pass I wouldn't read the Bible. I've read it through 39 times since that time. Every day I read the Bible. I read a minimum of 50 chapters a week. I have purposed in my heart to read the Word of God. But the Word of God does not take the place of fasting. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can't do what God's called you to do without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But did you know what? If you don't give, I don't care how much you speak in tongues, you won't begin to see breakthroughs in your finances and breakthroughs in your life. So the Holy Ghost doesn't take the place of giving. And it doesn't take the place of fasting either. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. And here's what it says in verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Now notice, he'd received the Holy Ghost. And he was full of the Holy Ghost, but after he fasts for 40 days, he returns in the power of the Holy Ghost. And there's a difference from being full of the Holy Ghost and operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to what I'm saying tonight? Now, the Bible says we are to desire spiritual gifts. It says we are to covet spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we are to covet it and we are to desire it. Just like you would covet a Mercedes automobile. And you look at this car and you would covet in the wrong way somebody's house. That's a sin. But when it comes to the power and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the power of God to cast out devils, to walk on water, to raise the dead, we are to lust after it. We are to desire it. Now, how do you covet the gifts of God? Do you say, oh, I want this. Oh, God, please give me this. Is this how you do it? How did Jesus do it? He went out and fasted. That's how Jesus coveted the gifts of God. He fasted. And as he began to fast, God imparted to him the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Years ago, in Denver, Colorado, there was a poor, illiterate shoe cobbler. His name was Francis Shatler. Francis Shatler began to fast. God began to deal with him, and he fasted for 40 days, and he began to walk from Denver, Colorado, into New Mexico and began to work among the Navajo Indians. And God imparted to him the most powerful known gift of healing in the United States in the history of America. He began to heal the sick, began to raise the dead. And when he came back to Denver, Colorado, he would begin to pray for people at 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. People would line up and he would spend about 15 to 20 seconds on each person. He'd pray for them and pray for them. And the greatest miracles recorded in this country happened as he prayed for them. And so they begin to try to promote him and begin to set up a tour that he would travel and minister. And he disappeared again. He said, God wouldn't allow me to exploit this gift of the Lord. He wore very tattered clothes. He was very humble. He said, as I would walk and minister, he said, never did a dog attack me till somebody gave me a new coat. And I was so proud of this new coat. It looked so good. And a dog attacked me and bit the coat. And I fell on the ground. And by the time I got up, it was as raggedy looking as the pants I wore. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to say that God wants to impart all the gifts. But when you begin to fast and when you begin to pray, there's a new dimension that begins to take place that will not happen any other time in your life. And it says here, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And it goes on, and he came to Nazareth in verse 16, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. For there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty them that are bruised and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, in Catholic and Protestant commentaries alike, the acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee. And so instead of having to wait 50 years to come around where all your debts are forgiven, where your land is restored, where all that was lost, he says, all is found in me. I am the day of Jubilee. The revelations that began to come to him when he began to fast was incredible. And when he opened the Word of God, the Holy Spirit revealed to him the Word of God, just like he reveals to us the Word of God. It is no different. It wasn't that he was born and suddenly, and the Word of God was suddenly, he knew it all. He studied it just like we did because he was a man just like we're a man. But he had the Spirit without measure. We have the Spirit with measure. But when you begin to fast, that measure increases. I remember I was on a 21-day fast, and it came to the 21st day. And I was praying, and we were going to have a miracle service that day. And I was praying, and suddenly God gave me the greatest revelation that I've ever received. And that revelation was the revelation of the hundredfold blessing. You know, the 30-fold blessing is where God blesses you 30 times. The 60-fold blessing where God blesses you 60 times. But not the 100-fold blessing. It's totally different. The 100-fold blessing is where God blesses you to a level that would be impossible to obtain if He had not been there. Now, let's say you are a student, and you take a test, and there's 25 questions on that test, and you get them all right. What did you get? 100. If there were 50 questions, and you got every one of them right, the best that could possibly be done, you still got 100. And if you are a person who is working at a position of your job, and God begins to bless you 100-fold, will you rise to the very top position you could ever rise in that business? Doesn't necessarily mean you'll own the business, but it means you'll rise to the very top level that you could ever arrive at. And as I begin to pray, God began to show me the secret of the 100-fold blessing. And I want you to look with me just for a moment here in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. On verse 2 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, "When thou doest thine alms," or when you give. And then it says, the next words are, "And the Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly." Isn't that amazing? "And the Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly." Praise God. Then in verse 6, it says, "When thou prayest." And then it says this, "Enter into your closet when you shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly." The same words that are used, that God's going to bless you and reward you openly, is used there again. There's a reward when you give. It doesn't matter if you ever pray or not. You can be the worst sinner in this town and just give and help the poor and help the churches and go out here and drink and carry on, and God will bless you. Doesn't mean you get to heaven. When you get up to heaven, you say, "Hey, wait a minute, can I get in here? Said I help that church over here, and I help the poor over here?" And God said, "Yeah, and I blessed you with a new car, and I gave you a good job, and you had a nice home. said, but it's the blood of Jesus that gets you into heaven. But if a person will give, God will reward you. And then it says, when thou prayest. Notice the singular word, thou. Emphasis is put on individual praying. It's put on that over corporate praying or praying with public people. And the reason is, there's certain things I won't pray about if you're listening to me. There's certain things you won't pray about if your husband's listening to you. And so Jesus says, when you pray, He says, when thou prayest. He put emphasis on praying by yourself. He says, enter into the house, into your closet, shut the door, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What is He saying? He's saying the effectual fervent prayer is an out loud prayer. I mean, if you could pray quietly and silently, you could sit out on the front porch and pray. But prayers are meant to be prayed out loud. So you enter into not only your house, but you enter into a place where nobody can hear you. You shut the door and you pray, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So there's reward if you pray. There's reward when you give, and there's reward when you pray. And then the next verse it says, but when ye pray. Notice the plurality of that word. There are certain things that happen when you pray as a body of believers that will not happen if you're praying by yourself. Here's Elijah. He takes on the strong man of Israel. He takes on Baal. The next day, Jezebel says, if you are alive when the sun goes down, may the same thing happen to me that happened to the prophets of Baal. He ran for his life, got under a juniper tree and said, God, let me die, let me die, let me die. What happened? He didn't have the prayer cover. When you start taking on spirits that rule geographical demonic forces, that rule cities and rule countries, you have to have a prayer cover. That's where the power comes in group praying. We begin to pray for North America. We prayed as a group. We begin to pray for Cuba as a body of believers. There's protection when you begin to do that. And then it goes down in verse 16, and here's what it says. Moreover, when ye fast. Now notice, when it comes to fasting, the emphasis is not put on fasting by yourself. It's put on fasting with other people. It's much more powerful to fast with other people than fasting by yourself. Secondary fasting is verse 17, when thou fastest. Secondary fasting is fasting by yourself. Brother Bob, we can't tell anybody if we're on a fast. Who told you that? Blow a trumpet in Zion. Call a solemn assembly. Sanctify a fast. Put it in the newspaper. Announce it on television. Put ads on the radio. Get everybody fasting with you. That's a corporate fast. And the laws of corporate fasting are different than the laws of fasting by yourself. You don't tell everybody you're fasting when you're fasting by yourself. But you don't lose your reward if somebody says, let's go eat. You say, this is my day not to eat. Most people just say, okay. And they go eat. Let me tell you, when you begin to fast with other people, it's easier to fast. Secondly, when you fast with other people, you get one another's anointing. Sister Broom here, she's fasting for healing. I'm fasting for prosperity. Somebody else is fasting for direction. Well, my goodness, if she gets a breakthrough in healing and there's a group of people fasting, and she gets healed of a heart condition, there may be 25 other people get healed of heart condition. We were on a fast one time and a child got healed of a learning disorder, and when they did, 7 other kids got healed of a learning disorder. You get a breakthrough and get a new home, there will be 100 people that get a new home. Your breakthrough becomes my breakthrough. Oh, I love group fast. Just start showing up. You see a fast, start showing up. Get a part of it. Anybody gets a breakthrough, that's your breakthrough. And then there's a unity that begins to take place. And notice what it says after this. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The same words. Now, if you get rewarded and you get a $100 bill and that's the reward you get, and you go out here and you buy yourself a dinner, Well, that not everybody can see that. But God wants to reward you so openly that everybody in town sees that you got blessed. Now, let me tell you what the reward is for giving, or the reward is for praying, or the reward is for fasting, if that's all you do. It's a 30-fold blessing. My goodness, if you just fast and you never pray and you never give, you'll lose weight. I mean, that's kind of a blessing, wouldn't you think? You'll be healthier. But it's a 30-fold blessing. But when you begin to add another discipline, it's a 60-fold blessing. But if you want the 100-fold blessing, you add all three. The prayers, the giving, and the fasting. Now, let me show you what I mean in the Bible. A lot of times, fast in the Bible, they were forced fast. They didn't particularly want to fast, but they had to fast. I mean, there's a lot of things I've had to do. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, "Thou shalt remember these 40 years I led you in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether you would serve me or not. I humbled you, but I suffered you to hunger. So thou wouldest know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." There are many forced fasts. Do you remember the story about Elijah? Here Elijah is at the brook, and the brook dries up. There's a famine in the land, and God says, "I prepared a widow woman in Zarephath to feed you there." Sometimes you got to go there to get God's blessings. And so he shows up in Zarephath, and I've heard so many preachers preach on the giving part of this. And I tell you, she was a giver, but there was a lot more involved than that. This woman was a prayer. She says, "Oh, thou man of God." Can you imagine how many prayers that woman had prayed? Secondly, she was a woman who fasted. He said, "What are you going to do?" He says, "Well, I've just got a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. We're going to eat our last meal and we're going to die." They'd been cutting back for a long time. They'd been fasting a day, fasting 2 days, fasting 2 meals. He says, "Well, give me first." So she went over and she took this oil, she put it with it's kind of like a pancake. And she gave to him, and there was enough for herself and enough for her boy. Now, here's what I figured up. I figured Elijah was along that brook about 6 months. The famine went 3.5 years. And he was with this widow woman for 3 years. Now, if they had a meal that would satisfy him, there's 2,000 calories for Elijah, 2,000 calories for the widow woman. And depending the age of that boy, if he was a teenager, my Lord, it's no telling how many calories. But let's say it was a 3,000 calorie boy. And so an adolescent. So it was 7,000 calories a day for 3 years. That comes out to 5,000 meals. That comes out to a multiplication ratio that would take a little bit of meal that you could hold in your hand to a ton and a quarter of grain, just a little bit of oil to 137 gallons of oil, a multiplication factor of 19,000 times. So when I say 100-fold blessing, I'm not talking about 100 times. I'm talking about when God gets a hold of it and He multiplies it, it's supernatural. I want to close with this story. A little over a year ago, I'd fasted for 40 days. I'd learned that when I come off a fast, I plant a seed. I plant a big seed. And I was in a service, and I had in my pocket a $10 bill and a $100 bill, and the Lord said, "Give that $100 in the offering." I said, "Well, Lord, I got to take this preacher out to eat, and I don't think I can feed him on $10. He's a big eater." And the Lord says, "You go ahead and give that." So I gave that $100, and that preacher in a few minutes called me up. He said, "You know, God spoke to me that I am to give you something. I'm going to give this church something." I said, "What is it?" He said, $100,000.
This is the end of Side 1. For the continuation of this message, please turn the tape over.